T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the show. Maggie and Perloff on this Thursday. NBA Finals start tonight. Heat, Nuggets, not a lot of history between these two teams, although a scuffle the last time these two teams met in the regular season.
What?
Got a little heated. No pun intended.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, nobody does. basically, this series is actually all about basketball. You know, it's not about LeBron's legacy. It's not about Steph Curry's legacy. It's not these grander, you know, thoughts of who's actually bigger and better on the Mount Rushmore. None of that. We really just get like a basketball series, for better or for worse.
Right. I mean, I think if you're going to get in the legacy, the talk would be about Jimmy Butler.
Right.
You know, he's got sort of the special playoff. As one of the, I think if he wins this, he's an all-time great postseason player, which is something.
Yeah, it's something. But as
and
we
Joker
talked about
too.
Before, yeah. I mean, Joker's got the pressure because he's a two-time MVP. Now he needs to get that all-important next piece, just like Giannis needed
yeah.
to. And he did. And it did change how we look at Giannis. For Joker, there's pressure. For Jimmy Butler, though, you and I talked about it. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame whether they win this series or not. I mean, from a guy who was a second-round pick out of Marquette, he's really done quite well for himself.
Yeah, and, well, at least he was drafted, unlike most of his teammates.
Yeah,
so
that's
I think
true.
But he's just such a great story. This would be, let's take it to the next level if he did win.
Okay, well, speaking of legacies and revisiting now a really incredible life, we turn to Steve James, who is an award-winning director and producer. He directed one of the great documentaries of all time. I'm not even going to say sports documentaries, Steve. One of the great documentaries of all time in Hoop Dreams back in the mid-90s. You've done many projects since then. The latest is The Luckiest Guy in the World, which is about Bill Walton. It's going to be a four-part series. The first two episodes air June 6th. The second two air June 13th. It's part of 30 for 30 for ESPN. And Steve James joining us now. Steve, thanks so much for the time. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks so much again, and congrats on the project. I got to watch a little of it last night. And the first thing I thought of is, you know, Bill Walton is such a huge figure. Perloff and I clearly know him, you know, because we've met him before.
Right. And more as a broadcaster, we don't remember him as a player, per
right.
se.
But I'm wondering for the young person today, like I'm looking across and looking at our summer intern, right? For the young person today who was not there for Bill as the player, who is now catching him maybe as a broadcaster, why is it important for young sports fans to know about Bill Walton's career?
Well, I think you kind of said it there. I think most people who didn't grow up watching him play or aren't basketball history nuts don't really know Bill the player. They know Bill the broadcaster. And you know, let's be frank, he's loved and not so loved, depending on whether you like his rants or not. And but, you know, it's all very entertaining regardless. But, you know, Bill was a player, was transcendent player starting literally in high school, but especially when he came on the national scene at UCLA and was part of the 88 game win streak that has never been eclipsed. He was a big part of that. They went undefeated 2 years. He won two national championships. And then he went to the NBA, and he was going to be the savior for the Portland franchise. And, you know, from there forward, he had an incredibly injury-marred career. But when Bill was healthy, he was a phenomenal player. And so, you know, he's led a fascinating life off the court as well that most people have no idea about all those years. And so it just seemed like the time was right to tell his story.
Yeah, Steve, what drew you more to Bill Walton? Was it Bill Walton, the player who didn't really get a chance to reach his potential, or was it all the other stuff, the, you know, the deadhead stuff and the broadcasting and, you know, all the character stuff?
I think it's really kind of everything. I mean, I am just a few years younger than Bill, so I remember watching him, you know, when I was in high school, watching him play at UCLA on TV late at night. They would show games from Pauley Pavilion in Virginia for some reason. And so I became a fan way back then of him as a player, but you know, his life is just such been a remarkable one of the highest of highs and lowest of lows. You know, when he was at Portland, not only was he hurt a lot, which he got a lot of heat for, people saying he was faking the injuries, the media getting on him, but he was also this incredibly outspoken athlete about politics at the time. And that was highly unusual, especially for white athletes from that era. So everything about his story is fascinating to me, and just the transformations he's made. You know, there's that famous quote, I think it's, you know, in America, there are no second acts in American life. And I think Bill's had at least four acts and counting so far.
Steve James is joining us. He's the director of the new 30 for 30 documentary, The Luckiest Guy in the World, which is about Bill Walton. First two episodes, June 6th, second two, June 13th on ESPN. So, Steve, what was the lowest of the low for Bill Walton? I mean, you talk about the highs, we know those, but the lows, how deep do they go?
Well, I think the lowest of the low, and we get into this in some real detail in episode four, was in 2008 when his back gave out. I mean, he had all these, you know, foot problems throughout his entire career, and that's what eventually ended his career, was feet problems. But in 2008, when he was in the midst of his broadcast career, his back gave out, and it was so bad that he thought he'd never walk again, and he had to have this radical surgery, and it took him 2 years to come back, but he did. And during that time period, you know, he talks candidly about really wanting to die and being even suicidal, thinking that he could not have a life and he was going to end it. And so I'd say that's the lowest of the lows. But this, you know, this is a guy that had 34 surgeries throughout his life. And they were all, except for the back surgery, they were all related to his feet and sports primarily.
All right, for young people who didn't see him play, can you give me a current NBA comp for Bill Walton?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nobody that fits him perfectly, but he combines certain qualities that are... So, you know, Jokic, for example, who's going to be in the finals starting tonight, you know, some people look at Jokic who know the game and say he's the best passing big man since Bill Walton. And when you watch this series, you'll see what an incredible passing big man Bill was. The offense ran through him, which was highly unusual for that time. You know, back at that time, you had all those great iconic centers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, Artis Gilmore. You had guys who planted themselves in the middle and the offense went to them, not through them. And Bill was not that kind of player. He was also perhaps the greatest rebounding big man and outlet passing big man that we've ever seen. He could rebound and start a fast break before he hit the ground. He was a tremendous defensive player. You know, could block shots with the best of them. What's interesting about Bill is that he could score, but scoring was really the least of his sort of the things he cared about as a player. He would score as needed, and he could have averaged a lot of points if he wanted to, but scoring was always secondary to the overall team play and making his teammates better, and that's you know what he did.
Steve James is joining us. He's the director of the new documentary, The Luckiest Guy in the World. It's a four-part series. It's about Bill Walton. June 6th, the first two episodes, June 13th, and then the second two, part of ESPN's 30 for 30, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Steve, a filmmaking question, if you don't mind. You know, Hoop Dreams, as I said, one of the great documentaries and sports documentaries of all time. Like, how is it different when you're profiling someone who's world famous, like Bill Walton is, who we all know, versus people you're introducing to the world, like you did in Hoop Dreams which followed two young high school players in Chicago trying to make it to the NBA?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, most of the films I've done in my life have not been about people who are well-known, frankly, starting with Hoop Dreams. And I think part of the appeal of that to me is that I'm very interested in just making a discovery of who these people are, and to the degree that the film can be successful and you can discover them as well, I love that. When you're dealing with people who are famous, like Bill, or I did a film about the film critic Roger Ebert, it's a whole different situation because they come to it with a reputation in the real world that's very important, of course, to them, and an experience in dealing with media that people that I normally profile don't have. So the challenge with a Bill is to, you know, hopefully get him to go beyond what he normally gives in his public persona and to dig down deep and give us, you know, the more poignant and hidden truths of his feelings in his life, which is no different than what I want from someone who's not famous, but it's a different process with people who are famous that you have to kind of win their trust in a different way and hopefully get them to that place.
I love the Roger Ebert documentary so much. But Steve, question, you made Hoop Dreams in 1994. Could you have envisioned the wild popularity of documentaries, sports documentaries too, back then? Because now they're everywhere.
You're nobody unless you have a documentary.
I watch four a week. I'm not, I feel like documentaries. Did you have any idea this wave was coming?
You talking about the wave of sports docs or just docs in general?
I would say both. Actually, sports docs, the 30 for 30 and everything, but there's just so many now. And when Hoop Dreams came out, I don't remember it being like that.
No, not at all. In fact, one of the reasons we had trouble funding Hoop Dreams back then was because it was about sports in the view of funders, and they didn't consider sports a serious enough topic for a documentary, if you can believe that.
Wow.
So yes, Hoop Dreams was, you know, in many ways ahead of its time in that regard, and it has exploded in a way that I never would have imagined, both in terms of sports docs, but also in terms of docs in general. And, you know, it's documentaries are much more at the center of our culture now in so many ways than ever before. And I think that for the most part, that's an excellent thing. It's great for those of us who make documentaries. And it's great because it means there's a hunger out there among viewers who want to know more about the world they're living in instead of just, you know, the latest Marvel comic, you know, excitement that you know, fills the multiplexes.
Steve, is there a sports documentary our audience might not know that you would recommend that you think people might not have seen?
Well, you know, I don't know how easy it is to find it, but Barbara Kopple, who's a great documentary filmmaker, who's won two Academy Awards as a documentary filmmaker, she did a film on Mike Tyson many years ago called The Rise and Fall of Mike Tyson, which is just a phenomenal film. It came out in the early 90s, so it was after, you know, all that he had gone through with the end of his career and the rape allegations and everything. But it's a pretty amazing documentary. I highly recommend that. I mean, there's a lot of great sports docs. You know, it's hard to like just pull them up.
well, you know, Bill Walton, of course.
There's a lot of them in the 30 for 30 catalog that are really terrific.
And I loved one of your other ones, Steve. Sorry to interrupt. Well, you did Because You're From Hampton, Virginia, which people will know is also the hometown of Allen Iverson. And you did a 30 for 30 about his trial and just how close he came to being a never was. You know, Allen Iverson, who's in the Hall of Fame, Perloff's from Philadelphia, so he's a god in Philly. And how close he was and how, you know, John Thompson really had to take a chance and his mother begged John Thompson, you know, to take him at Georgetown and then everything that happened afterwards. It was fabulous.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate you remembering that film. That was a film that was near and dear to me. You know, it's funny, when all of that was going on with Allen Iverson, I was finishing Hoop Dreams. I was in Chicago finishing Hoop Dreams, and I was kind of following it through my parents who were following it, you know, living in Hampton. And I remember at the time very distinctly thinking, there's a really important film to be made here about what's going on with Allen Iverson, but I can't do it. and then lo and behold, all these years later, I was able to go back and make that film.
So the new film is called The Luckiest Guy in the World. It's a four-part series. First two episodes, June 6th. Second two are June 13th. It's on ESPN at 8 p.m. Eastern, part of the 30 for 30s. Now, Steve, Perloff and I were at the Final Four this year in Houston. We got a chance to sit with Bill Walton and do an interview with him. We're going to play a little clip for you. Let's go.
The foundational background that has given me the life that I have, and now to be on your show.
Wow.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Maggie and Andrew, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, where dreams become reality, where we come to grow, and where the deal goes down. Thank you, Greg Gumbel. Thank you, Bill Paley. Thank you, Edward R. Murrow. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't put Edward R. Murrow in the same sentence with everybody, right? I mean, we were special that day, right?
You were special. He never tells anybody that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the reason we titled this film The Luckiest Guy in the World, and when you see the series, you'll see that we keep coming back to it because he keeps coming back to it. And at one point I say, you know, in the midst of talking to him about all the injuries and all that he's been through, I say, so you haven't been the luckiest guy in the world. And he said, no, I have been. And I think that the title has multiple levels of meaning in this film. It is his mantra. It is the thing he says all the time. Mm. But it's also a statement of belief of him for a guy who has clearly not been the luckiest guy in the world. It's how he's gotten through it all. So that's why we named it that.
Steve, congrats on the project. Fantastic. I saw the first episode. I loved it. Can't wait to watch the next three. Again, June 6th, June 13th. 2 and 2, the episodes, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for having me. Great talking to you guys.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, putting Maggie Perloff, Greg Gumbel, and Edward R. Murrow into the same sentence.
Yeah, Paley?
Yeah.
That's the Titans.
Did he say Paley, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch
that one.
The Titans
of media.
I mean, no Walter Cronkite? Hello?
I know, come on. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, the one thing no one's talking about when it comes to the NBA Finals, which starts tonight, plus Perloff and I will preview our breakout seasons for three young NFL up-and-comers. We will do that. A lot more to get to. It is Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. You want to watch the show, do it. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Sometimes, Maggie, people just have to say things over and over again until other people will believe them.
Wait, is this like why I didn't remember you were playing on a 4-on-4 basketball tournament this weekend?
No. Because
you apparently told me several times.
I told you once and it must have gone right over your head.
I'm sorry, I didn't commit it to the permanent hard drive.
Yeah, which is weird because I played many 3-on-3 tournaments. I've never played a 4-on-4 half court. It seems a little crowded. And honestly, I have a broken right pinky and a swollen left ankle. I have a million excuses. I'm a little bit like Jimmy Butler.
You know,
I'm
not going to. You and Jimmy Butler, same.
It is going to be, I'm a little nervous about that. So Yeah. So I know. I was just boggling your mind. I'm like, I'm going to be a little late because I have basketball training in the morning.
Yeah. I got basketball practice. I'm like, what year is it? You got practice. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So it's a big day. But the thing about you have to hear it again and again reminds me of a certain Hall of Fame quarterback. Tom Brady keeps telling you, Maggie Gray, I am not coming back. And you keep refusing to believe it.
Yeah.
Do you believe it now? Because he did one more interview today, and I thought he was speaking directly to you, Maggie.
No, I'm always going to be a skeptic about Brady. But the latest is Brady doing an interview with a friend of ours, Robin Lumber,
yep,
from Sports Illustrated. Worked with him for many, many years. Big fans of Robin. And he talked to Brady, and he asked him, what's your response to people out there who try to keep connecting you with different jobs?
I'm certain I'm not playing again. So I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times. But I'm looking forward to my broadcasting job at Fox next year. I'm looking forward to the opportunity ahead with the Raiders, and we're in the process of that along with the other different things that I'm a part of professionally.
Okay, a lot in that soundbite, a lot there. So Brady saying that, you know, I'm not going to be playing. I am going to be broadcasting for
Fox.
And that he is now submitted to be a minority owner for the Raiders.
We knew that.
And it's waiting to happen. Okay.
Those headlines were very clearly out there, and you didn't believe any of them.
No.
Well, maybe the Raiders you believed.
The Raiders I believe, but I also believe that maybe he was kind of trying to use that to get in the back door to become the starter of the Raiders, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt. But anyways, here's where Brady is actually being disingenuous about this. He's making it seem like he's told us over and over and over again that he's absolutely 100% retired. And that's not the case. Let's go back to February when he's on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. And Gray asks him, why now?
There's always going to be a part that wants to play and a part of me that, you know, feels like I can play. I think there's just a decision to know that it's the right time. It's going to end at some point, and I think now's the time. And it's not that I can't do it. It's not that I wouldn't want to do it. It's not that I wouldn't be excited to play. I think it's just a decision that it's time to do other things.
Wishy-washy at best there.
That is very clear. Now is the time. When he said now is the time to retire, what's wishy-washy about that? He's like, there's a time.
I can still play. It's not that I don't love it. We know he can still play.
That was very much a retirement sentence to me.
No, that was a, hey guys, I still can do this. I'm just retiring now because like my personal life is in upheaval.
How did you hear that? How did your brain process that out of that quote?
I don't know how your brain did process that. I didn't hear like a definitive. He just said now's the time. But
yes,
that
he
one
said,
might have been in the moment now's the time. That doesn't mean forever that was the time.
Okay. How about if I said this sentence, there's always a time to retire, and for me it's right now. Is that wishy-washy?
It is when then you go on to say all the reasons why you can still play. Now, let's hear a little bit more. Here was Brady was on stage in front of a live audience at some conference in Miami that I don't remember. Here was the question he was asked.
Spending a lot of time in Miami. Now you call it home. By chance, is there any chance that you're coming out of retirement and playing for the Finns?
Ha ha. Okay. So this is like a softball question. Would you come out of retirement and play for the Dolphins? He's in Miami talking to a Miami crowd. He could have just said no. And when you listen to his response, tell me once if you hear the word no.
Now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like. So I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami.
Gobbledygook word salad. He did not say no when he specifically could have said, ha ha, that's so funny, but no, I'm not going to be playing for the Dolphins.
I don't understand that. So that quote to you said, gee, I really want to play for the Dolphins. I'm going to root for the guys on the Dolphins. What he was saying.
I'm not going to be playing for the Dolphins or no.
He was just nervously answering to play to the Miami crowd. It might not have made sense, but it certainly wasn't a yes.
And
by the way, the fact that if he was going to go back anywhere, it would have been to Miami, and that's obviously not happening. It's June 1st. Is there any indication he's going to Miami?
No. Well, now that he's the part owner or trying to become a part owner of the Raiders, I think the Miami thing might officially be dead. But
you know, by the way, if he wanted to just sign a contract and be the Raiders quarterback, he could probably do that as well. He doesn't need to buy into the team. In fact, that makes it a huge roadblock into him playing quarterback there. Maybe the hardest thing to do if you want to play quarterback for a team is to buy the team.
But it's about leaving the door open. Now, listen, Michael Jordan did basically the exact same thing. When he retired the second time, he went and became a part owner of the Washington Wizards and then realized, I want to play again, and had to sell back his ownership stake, took the court for 2 years, and then eventually moved on again after his third retirement.
Well, right, but that wasn't his original plan. He definitely wanted to retire.
Okay, well, it might not be Brady's original
plan. So you're saying sometime in the future, but those two sound bites you played, there was not even a hint of I'm coming back in either of those.
But there wasn't also a definitive shut the door, and that's where I feel like Brady's disingenuous about he keeps saying, I keep telling you, no, you don't. You keep being wishy-washy about it and then expecting us to believe that someone who's already come out of retirement once and fooled us is not going to do it again.
How about the video where he's on the beach and he says, there's not going to be any coming back now. This is it. I'm retired.
Only a sucker would believe that.
Well, I don't understand, but you certainly can't say his words indicate anything, because there's no wishy-washy. He's like, I'm done. I'm retired. I can't say it any more clearly. I'm retired.
But see, that's the thing. I don't think he has been clear about it. But I also think what was interesting about that is did double down on Fox. Now, you might have said that was obvious, but he did sign, or allegedly signed, this massive deal to be a broadcaster with Fox and then decided to basically take a gap year and not do it.
Right.
That's odd. That's not normal.
But he's going through this thing with his family, so I assume that's what that was.
Okay, maybe that's why. A lot of people still work when they're going through a divorce, though. It doesn't mean a lot of people have to keep working when you go through a divorce. He doesn't have to. It doesn't preclude you from doing this job, I don't think, because if it did, then you would never take the job, because he's still going to have a family in a year, in 2 years, and three. You know, it's, to me, that was a bit of a red flag. I understand why people were reading into, like, will he actually ever do this, because he didn't jump into it immediately.
Dude, why wouldn't he work for Fox for $38 million a year?
I mean, yeah, it seems like easy money for him.
Yeah, it seems, you know, for a player who's had his whole life so regimented and worked so many hours, being a broadcaster seems very easy schedule-wise. So, okay, when are you going to be convinced that he's done? Like, unless he comes back, like, what
when he's wearing a gold jacket?
Do you know how old he is?
Yeah, but that's never mattered with Brady. That's part of the.
It's got to matter at some point.
No, but that's Brady's whole thing, right? Is he? That's what the TB12 method is all about. That's how he keeps this, you know, whole thing going and all of his business ventures alive.
Didn't he say he wanted to play till he was 45?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And he kept moving the goalposts on that, because at some point it was 40, and then it was 42, and then it was 45. Now it's going to be 50.
Yeah, here's the thing. The Raiders, to me, okay, yeah, I'm not totally shutting the door. Of course there's a chance he could come back, but he's not joining this Raiders team, Maggie. That would be the big. First of all, if you're joining any team in the AFC West, it better be the Chiefs, because otherwise you're losing.
That job is taken.
They're a 6-11 team who has an iffy coach, and I don't think he knows Josh McDaniels.
An iffy coach that he won multiple Super Bowls with as his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can make McDaniels look good.
Do you think, I mean, honestly, if he's coming back to the NFL, it better not be with the Raiders, because that will not be a good experience for him.
I bet McDaniels is probably begging him behind the scenes. Begging him. I mean, Jimmy's now, you know, hurt. We're not even sure he's going to make it to training camp. If he doesn't, then the team can get out of the contract completely. They got Brian Hoyer behind him.
Can you play the
Aiden O'Connell?
Pat, can you play the quote this morning that Tom Brady gave to Robin Lundberg one more time? I just feel like Maggie needs to hear it again and again and again.
I'm certain I'm not playing again, so I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that, because I've already told people that lots of times, but I'm looking forward to my broadcasting job at Fox next year. I'm looking forward to the opportunity ahead with the Raiders, and we're in the process of that, along with the other different things that I'm a part of professionally.
Maggie, yes. He can't make it more clear.
Listen, he made it clear the first time he retired, and he came back a month later. How anyone's taking Tom Brady at face value, I mean, do that at your own risk.
Okay.
Everyone's retired till they're not. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It makes sense when you really think about it. CeeLo, are you buying this? You're not, right?
Not. I think I'm somewhere between the two of you on this.
Convenient, CeeLo. Convenient.
Yeah. I will say in that beach video, it looked like he either was going to or just finished crying.
You thought so?
Take that for what it's worth.
You thought he was crying on the beach and then turned the camera on himself?
He was like very down in that video.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be. because it's a loss for him, right?
Yeah,
this is,
well,
this is a hard thing for him.
But that kind of leads to, I think, what you're saying is that lure bringing back in. Like, it doesn't seem
devastated.
Like a guy that's necessarily like, I can't deal with this anymore. Like, but some of these guys, I hate training camp. I can't do
it. I'm hurt. My body's broken down. My brain's scrambled.
He really mailed in last year. He looked miserable from week two to the end of the season.
To me, that's the Todd Bowles effect. Having been around the Todd Bowles Jets, that didn't surprise me one bit.
I feel like
Cee was a beat reporter for the Jets in a very memorable era.
PTSD from those couple of years.
I do like, Maggie, your Michael Jordan scenario, where if he did get into the ownership, like, I don't remember the time, but actually Michael Jordan had a lot of time between his Bulls retirement.
2 years.
And when he came back.
Yeah.
So maybe 2 years is it. But right now I think Tom Brady has convinced himself right now today that he really is retired. I don't think he's mincing words. I think the Miami thing, he was just trying to impress some Dolphins fans. Because if you want to play for the Dolphins, why would he say, you know, I know some guys, I'm going to root for the team. You don't say, I'm going to root for the team. That means I'm not on the team.
Well, you know, you can be a fan of the team and be on the team. I don't know.
Who are these? By the way, who are the Dolphins players that he's friends with?
It's only Stephen Ross, the owner. It's not the players.
He said he was friends with a bunch of players, like Tua.
Yeah, that you sitting down to dinner with Tyreek Hill? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of players on the team. Yeah, that's really, we should do a deep dive into that. Who are Tom Brady's friends on the Dolphins?
Leftover guys from the Brian Flores era that maybe came from the Patriots?
Yeah, that's a good question there.
So, you know, less lower down the roster guys.
Listen, Brady played for 20 whatever years. He's got to know everyone in the league.
True. Yep.
I bet he forgets teammates that he had.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I don't think he's friends. I think he probably is a, you know, have you ever read the story about how far above his teammates are? Like, they all worship him and he can't connect to them. All right, I'm going to take the break and I'm going to go through the Dolphins depth chart and figure out connections to Tom Brady.
Good luck. This is like going in a time machine back to high school. What up, Maggie and Perloff on this Thursday? Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff across the country, CBS Sports Radio. We're also streaming on the absolutely free Odyssey app. You can download it. It's crystal clear. We're on SiriusXM channel 158 and youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. And that's where the fight has broken out, quite frankly, between Perloff and myself. Team Maggie or Team Carson's Corner and Perloff. You want to follow me and let's get this Carson Wentz poster finally destroyed. Just go to youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe. We'll get one step closer. If you want to go with Perloff and create now a Carson's Corner, you guys can set up your beanbag chairs and have some peanut butter and jelly. Go ahead with Perloff.
People have to understand, I don't know if you see it on the YouTube shot, this studio is filled with Buffalo Bills stuff. And by the way, the Buffalo Bills are on the NFL Network in the background right now.
I know.
Getting thrashed by the Dallas Cowboys.
Throttled.
In one of those Super Bowls.
Yeah, this is a fun one down memory lane.
So if you get all, how come I don't get Eagles stuff?
You can have Eagle stuff. It's specifically Wentz. I said, put Jalen Hurts stuff all over this place.
How
That's
about
fine.
Nick Foles? Can I go Nick Foles?
Big you know what? Nick is welcome in the studio anytime.
Okay. I'm going to push it now. How about Donovan? Nah.
I mean, that's on you. I like Donovan McNabb. It's Eagles people who have more of a problem with him than other people. Brian Dawkins, bring them all. I don't care.
I really want to do Carson's Corner, though. I'm getting really into it.
Yeah, because you guys all have now this, like, fantasy in your head about this cool Carson Corner.
Yeah,
where
I feel
all of a sudden,
like,
Harry Carson's coming in and Carson Palmer's hanging out having drinks.
I feel like if you have the shots of you and me, Maggie and Perloff, and then you pan out and Harry Carson's always standing there in Carson's Corner.
Dumping water over someone's head.
Yeah, I think this is really cool. I understand the complication. You have an issue with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think it's bad mojo for the studio. And, you know, he wasn't known as a great team player. He's been run out of town in several different places. That's not the person who deserves this kind of a, you know, prominent position in our studio.
You get Fred Jackson. What did he ever do?
Amazing teammate, Freddie J. Everything that we can aspire to be.
How many Super Bowls did he go to?
I mean, Super Bowls. He didn't go to the playoffs. I don't think Fred Jackson was on a winning team.
Oh, really?
But kept persevering.
All right. Okay. So if we get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers, CBS Sports Radio, I will agree to let Carson Wentz be destroyed in violent ways. I don't care.
Yeah.
But just
good.
Don't give up on Carson's Corner, Maggie.
Okay. Sicko Carson's in the chat because all of the weedos have now changed their names on YouTube to something Carson-like. Sicko Carson says Donovan would be 10 times better than Carson. McNabb?
Yeah. McNabb has a very complicated legacy in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I get it.
He's a very good quarterback. I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer. If you look at his numbers, he played a long time and was very, very good. But he wasn't always the greatest teammate either. So, I don't know. Who knows? His name's not Carson, Maggie. It's not Donovan's door here. Carson's quarters is such a great alliteration.
Donovan's dungeon.
Donovan's dungeon. That sounds kind of...
Yeah, it doesn't sound too great.
It doesn't sound like a place I want to hang out.
I mean, we could have the Jalen Hurts locker, but I don't know if that really...
Interesting play.
Ooh, I see where you're going there.
Yeah. The Hurt Locker, that was...
It's kind of a depressing
tough movie
about
watch.
Jeremy Renner. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll work on my... Clearly, I need a theme over here.
Yeah, obviously. Just like being over on your side of the studio is just not enough. You got a lot of cool things over
there. What about the Ian Book Club? Isn't he on the Eagles now?
Is Ian Book on Eagle now? Former Saint quarterback?
I honestly have no idea.
Only
might not be.
A Notre Dame fan would even be keeping semi-tabs on Ian Book.
Don't worry. I'm not holding out. I'm not giving up hope on Ian Book yet.
I do love the Ian Book Club. That's awesome, Pat.
He should start that.
He's
Oprah
on the...
Oprah and Reese Witherspoon, they make like... I imagine they cash in like crazy on these book clubs. I mean, Ian Book, it's really just sitting right there for him. Speaking of guys who might break out in the 2023 NFL season, not Ian Book, but other people who could be on the verge of a breakout season. Perloff, I'm curious if you think some of these guys who I'm going to bring up,
okay,
are you coming with me on these bandwagons or are you not? And now one guy I haven't really been sold on, and quite frankly, I thought head coach Ron Rivera was just straight up lying to our faces when he talked about him at the Super Bowl. But I'm starting to read more and more about Sam Howell.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to come around a little bit because I'm getting all those good, you know, OTA quotes about how he's picking up the offense and Bieniemy really likes him. And this could all be total BS, but he's got some really great weapons around him. You know, it's going to be tough in the NFC East, of course, but you got McLaurin. Everyone loves Jahan Dotson. Curtis Samuel is like no slouch. You also, we love Brian Robinson, who's been a guest on this show. Big fan of Antonio Gibson over here. This could be a good offense. It's going to be about the offensive line and how are they going to hold up. But I don't know. Sam Howell's kind of growing on me a little bit because it seems so positive out of Washington. And when's the last time anyone could say that?
So Sam Howell, I talked to Sam Monson at PFF, Pro Football Focus, about this. Nobody has ever been drafted lower than where they were supposed to go, according to the PFF grade, than Sam Howell. There's no way he should have been a fifth rounder. It was bizarre. He's super fast. He's obvious. He's about 6'1", maybe 6 foot tall. He's got a good arm. There's no reason he shouldn't have gone higher and got a shot. But how can you call him a breakout star? He's played one game in the NFL.
No, so, he's going to be, like, this year.
To break out, I feel like he hasn't even started yet. Breakout, what's a breakout star?
I think a breakout star is somebody who nobody was really looking at and all of a sudden puts themselves like on the radar. And by breakout, I think Sam Howell, maybe he earns the job. And Washington is not looking to get into the quarterback game in 2024 in that draft.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, when I hear breakout star, I'm thinking like kind of Pro Bowl level, which I think is way too much for him. But
that's too much.
I think he's going to surprise people with his legs.
Well, hang on though a second.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go to the Pro Bowl, but let's talk about quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah.
Okay. Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Definitely cream of the crop. You've got Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith. I mean,
Dak Prescott,
I forgot about. Yes.
Whoever's in San Francisco.
That's not going to be a Pro Bowl or whoever that is. Is Stafford going to stay healthy? He's got a spine injury.
I'll do a bet right now for spicy wings. Stafford has a better chance of making the Pro Bowl than Sam Howell.
Well, I'm not doing that. One guy's won a Super Bowl, but an MVP, and the other guy,
Justin Fields,
played in one game.
Justin Fields, because the running will have a chance. No, see, okay, I love Sam Howell, and I've been all over Sam Howell. I think you're putting a little bit too high a bar on him. You know what I'm saying? Like I think he's going to be okay, but that team is not built for a Pro Bowl season.
Okay.
So unless that's where you're going, I think you're saying he could earn the job, which I think is juicy.
I'm not going Pro Bowl. I'm saying earn the job.
Yeah.
Okay, next breakout star who's got a shot, I think, is guy who's, when he was drafted, people were very, very high on him, but then ran into just an interesting situation where he couldn't get on the field, really, with the New York Jets, and that's Elijah Moore, who was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a second-round pick. Now, Amari Cooper, who's getting older, still good, but getting older. You got Donovan Peoples-Jones. Now I'm just going through the Browns depth chart at receiver. Marquise Goodwin, you got Cedric Tillman. Listen, I think Elijah Moore has got a big opportunity here. He is a good wide receiver. Why he only had 80 receptions and 6 touchdowns over 2 years with the Jets, I have no idea.
Zach Wilson.
Well, Zach Wilson, but Mike White could have been throwing him some passes. Hell, I mean, they were excited about Elijah Moore, and then that excitement just went all down the drain. I think he could end up having a really good season. I mean, listen, they hand the ball off a lot to Nick Chubb, but if Deshaun Watson is anywhere close to what he was in Houston, this could be a big breakout season for Moore.
Yeah. I mean, my only concern with Cleveland is they have to share the ball with a lot of different people. So Njoku's going to be, he really came on.
And Njoku, yes.
He's really good. Cedric Tillman, people are excited about. They got the, I'm looking at their depth chart too. David Bell, remember, third round pick, who's really good, actually. I don't even know why he didn't do more. It's so hard to tell because the Cleveland offense we saw last year was so start and stop. I don't know. I have trouble believing, again, for breakout star. I'm thinking you're saying like 100 catches, 1,200 yards, Pro Bowl consideration. I don't think I'm quite high enough on that offense to see that. They got to be like high-flying and good. If Elijah Moore is a breakout star, then they're going to be a really good team.
Yeah, I think they're a sneaky playoff team. Yeah. You and I have talked about that. And then my third breakout star on the defensive side, Kayvon Thibodeau for the New York Giants, talking a big game about getting his sack numbers up. 4 sacks last year, only played in 14 games, 2 fumbles recovered. And listen, I think it only gets better for Thibodeau. You know, started off the season, he got hurt in training camp, started off the season injured, and then had to adjust to life in the NFL. He's awesome. That Giants defense totally punched above their weight class last year, and they're very good.
Oh, yeah. He's very good. I got to tell you, if an Eagles fan, not a fan of him. Don't like him coming around the edge. I like that. See, of those 3 players you just mentioned, that's the star. That's a breakout star. The other guys are going to be breakout good. Okay. So I generally agree with you, but yeah, I think he could be a Pro Bowler for sure.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4CBS. Our pal Ryan's in Santa Barbara. Ryan, how you doing?
Maggie and McLovin, what's happening?
How you doing, dude?
You guys, I mean, are you guys smoking some of that leftover ganja from Memorial Day, Santa Barbara County style? Because, all this Brady talk, he's not coming back. That guy's floating around the Med on super yachts with Leonardo, with supermodels, and who knows what he's drinking. He's sipping on champers, living the dream. He's going to Fox. Jimmy G's going to be fine. He's going to, the guy who always wins. I actually wish he was still on the Niners in the lineup. Hey, I would
Ryan,
give him over.
Here's
over
the thing,
Lance.
Though. One thing about Brady, you say that he's in the Mediterranean on a yacht with Leonardo DiCaprio, and that means he's not coming back. That's like that's a Tuesday for Tom Brady.
He doesn't want to go to the Raiders.
He wants to own the Raiders.
There are gummies in there too. Come on. Let me tell you. Oh, Maggie, you're getting on that bus too. By the way.
Oh, I'm getting
sure.
in the
I'm
van.
I'm taking you up to the Valley. Yeah, for sure. We're going to start sipping wine early. Actually, I'll be your driver, so I can't.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. You got to stay sober.
We get Mike McLovin on in there, too.
But Ryan.
Let me tell you, this winery up there called Sunstone, oh, my gosh, over the weekend, it was so banging. There's not a winery in the world that does the business like this. I think they did like 1,000 covers. They had a DJ going, cornhole, dogs running around.
All right, done. I'm in. Listen, Ryan, the Weedos told me don't get in the van. And I said, I'm getting
in the van.
Van,
Maggie. You might even see a rocket show up there.
Ryan, thank you for the call, pal. I want to print that on the T-shirt. I am getting in the van. I will get in Ryan's van. Sounds kind of odd, but I'm getting in the van, and I'm going on the wine tour.
Get in the van.
Everyone, get in the van.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.